How can an understanding of the theology of the cross help in times of pain, suffering, and loss? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is titled The Problem of Suffering, A Father's Hope. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Problem of Suffering by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Problem of Suffering, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Sometimes, even in a loss, you can honor him more.
Do you believe in the divine saving grace of Jesus Christ?
I happen to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and my Savior.
The gospel is the glue that holds a Christian marriage together, not sex. I mean, Ed Young has replaced Christ with the libido.
Washington Jet Drivers Love, Issues Etc.
I don't know how many sermons I have heard on passages like this where we are urged to follow the disciples' example, these men who, with no thought, no concern whatsoever for their livelihood or their futures, simply see this Jesus passing by and leave everything behind to follow him. And we've been told in sermon after sermon that's kind of the point of discipleship, leaving everything behind to follow Jesus with no concern or worry for the future. Of course, maybe that puts the emphasis, probably that puts the emphasis in Jesus calling his disciples on the disciples rather than on Jesus. And if the disciples really are this careless, if you will, in their following of Jesus, maybe their focus was not upon themselves, but rather on the one who is calling them. And maybe his call is more than just come and follow me. There's something there that is working the miracle of the Holy Spirit for these men to leave behind what they have to follow Jesus, to go from being who they are, that is, mere fishers, to, as the text today says, fishers of men. That's one of the little details we'll talk about in our Pastor's Roundtable this Thursday afternoon, the 19th of January. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It is our Pastor's Roundtable. Pastor Michael Moore, Pastor Clint Poppy will be alongside for the first hour of the program. We're going to look at Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 14. Jesus begins his ministry preaching the gospel of God, whatever that is, and then he calls these first disciples. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and leave a question or a comment for our pastor's roundtable on Jesus beginning his ministry and calling the first disciples. And the listener with the best question or comment in the first hour will get a copy of the Lutheran Study Bible. In the second hour of the program, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will join us. We're going to talk about a legal challenge to the recitation of the Lord's Prayer before Sussex County Council meetings in Delaware. They're actually arguing, and if you've been following these cases, you probably saw this coming. They're actually arguing, in order to say this prayer before the county council meetings, that the Lord's Prayer is not a specifically Christian prayer. It's not specific to any faith, they say. The lawyer's actually arguing that when Jesus gave this prayer, there was no Christian context, so to pray this prayer is not anything particularly Christian. So much do they want to pray this prayer that they're willing to deny its inherent Christian content. That seems like a rather backwards legal argument. We'll see what Dr. John Warwick Montgomery thinks about that. Then the church will be remembering, we could call her the matriarch, Sarah, the wife of Abraham, the patriarch, tomorrow, and we'll be doing that in the last few minutes of Issues Etc. on this Thursday afternoon. Pastor Michael Moore is our guest. He's here in the studio. He's pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Strasburg, Illinois. Michael, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Good to be here.
You've actually been in the studio with us before, and our listeners probably heard you from the Issues Etc. comment line and other things.
Yes.
But I believe this is your first time as a guest yourself.
First time as a guest, yes.
And joining us in just a few minutes, Pastor Clint Poppy, pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. When we have him on, we will welcome him. It says here in the beginning of this text that Jesus, after John is arrested, goes into Galilee, and he proclaims the gospel of God. What is the gospel of God? What would we have heard if we had heard Jesus preaching this gospel?
Well, quite simply, Jesus, in proclaiming the gospel of God, is preaching himself. You know, he says all things, you know, that all scriptures testify concerning him. He speaks of the great and wonderful work that he does on behalf of the people and how he, as the Messiah, will suffer for the people. I recently heard a quote from Dr. Nagel about the, about how God loves you in a Calvary way. And Christ our Lord, as he goes through, speaks of what he is doing for the people, not what the people are to be doing for him.
When he says the time is fulfilled, I mean, this is the whole phrase, and it's how Mark summarizes this preaching of Jesus at the beginning of his ministry. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Unpack each one of those things for us, beginning with the time is fulfilled.
The time is fulfilled. It's one of my favorite expressions in all of Scripture. Time is just bursting at the seams with Jesus. You cannot not have this happen at this time. I think of an expression that was used for the prophets in the Old Testament. It was a similar expression used for a kettle boiling over, just filled with the Spirit of the Lord and the Word of the Lord so that it just burst forth. And time is now just bursting forth at the right time Jesus was born, and now at the perfectly right time, when time could not contain it anymore, Christ has come to usher in the reign or the kingdom of God, that God is fulfilling what he has promised from the very beginning of creation to do.
You use the word there, reign. We've talked with Dr. Jeff Gibbs many times, and now he makes this point about Matthew's gospel. And whereas Matthew will say the kingdom of the heavens or the reign of heaven, Mark likes to talk about the kingdom of God. I'll take them as synonymous, but you use the word reign there. What's important about understanding this as not just some sort of static political system that Jesus comes to introduce?
It's the work of God among us as he fulfills what he does in bringing his grace to us. And so it isn't that static thing. It's not a particular plot of land somewhere in the world. It is the work of God in us and to us and in our vocation to our neighbors, even through us.
Then, along with those two things, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, he says, repent and believe the gospel. How important is that last part to understanding what Jesus is preaching, what Jesus is going to do?
Oh, it's absolutely essential. Absolutely essential. The turning from in on self and being turned by God through repentance towards him and seeing with the eyes of faith the work that he is doing for us. It is absolutely essential to everything that our Lord is doing as he calls his disciples to belief, and as he does in this text, calling them to apostleship to proclaim that word.
It says Mark tells us this happens after John is arrested. He gives the impression, and it's only hinted at, I think, in the other Gospels, that while Jesus and John's ministries in some sense overlap, it sounds like in Mark's Gospel, Jesus waits until John is out of the picture, at least in prison by Herod, before he appears publicly. What do you think about that?
I have a tendency to agree with that the early Judean ministry of Jesus certainly happened while John was still preaching, but that's part of the fullness of time here, that now the last of the Old Testament prophets has completed his work, and now is the time for the Christ to come and to do his work among us.
One thing that I think we often overlook here is that this phase, this disciple calling phase of Jesus' ministry, takes place in Galilee, not where, if you were kind of the respectable rabbi looking for the best religious candidates you could find, the best candidate disciples you could find, you'd go to Jerusalem. I mean, that's where the center of learning for the Israelite nation is. But Jesus starts, well, I mean, for all intents and purposes, really in the boonies to pick the guys that have no qualifications. What's going on?
Well, our Lord comes to us where we are, as he is, as he calls us to believe, and as he calls us to be preachers of the gospel. When I was in the seminary, the thing that they used to tell us, you know, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called, and he comes to us and makes us into those disciples that he is calling us to be. So he's not looking for people who have the good CV already. He's looking to transform us and to make us, by our death with him in baptism, into his disciples, his believers. And so it doesn't matter where you come from. It's where he's calling you to be with him.
Is that what he's saying when he says to these disciples a little later, and we'll get to it on the other side of the break? I will make you fishers of men. Is he talking about, what was the term you used, qualifying the called?
He qualifies the called. He transforms us, and by walking with him, literally in the disciples' case, or coming to him, well, I should say him coming to us through the word, he qualifies us as his disciples and as those who proclaim that word in the case of pastors.
Well, when we come back, we're going to continue our Pastor's Roundtable on this Thursday afternoon, the 19th of January. Pastor Clint Poppy will join us, pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, to round off the roundtable. And we'll look at what Jesus does when he calls these disciples. These are the fishermen disciples. Not all the disciples were fishermen. Only, as far as I can tell, these four. But he calls his fishermen disciples, and we'll look at how he does it right after this. Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program Thrivent Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrivent Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrivent Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues Etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice.
Yes, there is a Messiah in Seattle. Messiah Lutheran Church and Concordia Lutheran School have served North Seattle for over 60 years, and we invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 8 and 10:45 with Bible study at 9:20. Messiah Seattle is proud to support Issues Etc. To learn more, watch our adult information class videos online or on DVD. Our website is messiahseattle.org, 206-524-0024.
The faith once for all delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. IssuesETC.org. Go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
At SteadfastLutherans.org, we've been called contentious. We've even been called the brothers of John the curmudgeon, and we may well be curmudgeonly sometimes. But we always have the best and clearest voices in confessional Lutheranism. Articles from Molly Hemingway, Martin Nolan, Clement Preuss, Todd Wilkin, and a host of regular contributors. Come check out the new Lutheran media. Always clear, always concise, always confessionally Lutheran. SteadfastLutherans.org.
Gave his mandate,
share
trust.
Let sinners
listen.
Listen, God is calling, through the word inviting, offering forgiveness, comfort and joy.
The first stanza of the hymn, Listen, God is Calling. We're talking about Jesus calling his first disciples in Mark's Gospel Chapter 1. It's our pastor's roundtable on this Thursday afternoon. Pastor Michael Moore and Pastor Clint Poppy are our guests. The Lutheran Study Bible is one of those resources where when you're looking at a text like this, you come across that very familiar fishers of men. And a lot of it has been made of that, maybe more than should have been, because only in English does fishermen and fishers of men play that little game that we like to make so much of. In the actual original language, well, it's not that strong, and maybe it's not altogether the point that we've been told. We'll explore that with our pastor's roundtable, but that's also the kind of insight that you will find in the Lutheran Study Bible from Concordia Publishing House. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order one of the many different versions of the Lutheran Study Bible that they have available, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Pastor Clint Poppy is joining us. He's pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. Pastor Poppy, welcome.
Welcome, Todd. Sorry for the technical delay. I'm up here in Fort Wayne at the symposia and had just a little bit of a problem locating a landline, but I think we have that taken care of now.
And I think, yeah, between you locating what you needed to and Jeff locating you, I think it went very smoothly. So,
Thank you. That's an honor to be here.
That's why Jeff is out there, to make sure that all things get connected. We were talking before the break with Pastor Moore about the timing of Jesus' ministry, the beginning of his ministry. Before we go on to the Sea of Galilee, where he calls these disciples, Jesus comes into Galilee, and it is after John has been arrested. When Jesus' ministry begins, what changes with God's people? What new thing, never before done thing, has begun with Jesus proclaiming the gospel of God?
Well, in verse 15, we have Mark recorded Jesus' first sermon. And the first words out of his mouth, I believe, indicate what has changed. The time is fulfilled. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is now at hand. It's in your midst. It's right here. God in the flesh, the incarnation. Jesus is ordained or inaugurated in the baptismal waters, and now everything is to be viewed differently through him, through the lens of the cross and empty tomb, through the incarnation of the Son of God, God in the flesh made manifest. This is Epiphany, and he is being epiphanied to the world.
There's a question here, Pastor Moore, from Eric, who listens in Pennsylvania. He says, two questions on verse 15 before we go on to 16. I have a really hard time understanding why the Jewish nation would reject the kingdom of God that they were supposed to be looking for. Do they really not understand what God had promised in that kingdom, namely the forgiveness of sin? That's his first question. How do you respond to it?
I would simply say, no, they don't understand. They have looked for a Messiah that would bring in a kingdom, a reigning in this world. And they see all of the blessings of the Messiah that are listed, and they think that it's going to happen. In some ways, I pictured it as, it's not a reigning of God, it's a reigning of them with God having their back. And so that's the picture that they have of the kingdom of God. It's an earthly kingdom where we are the big guys, kind of like a little kid on the playground who's getting picked on by the bullies, and then big brother comes from the other end of the playground and is standing behind them, and then now you're king of the mountain because God's behind you.
What's different about what Jesus is proclaiming here, Pastor Poppy?
Well, Jesus has set everything on end. It's really an eschatological text. I know so often we try to turn it into an evangelism text, but the last days spoken of throughout all the pages of Scripture, the last days are here. The last days are upon you. All of history is now coming together in the fact that God is standing here in human flesh on the earth, and not just God protector on the playground, not just God my buddy or my friend, but God for us, for forgiveness, for for life, for salvation.
Is that what they don't get? And that this is, when Jesus comes, it is a kingdom that he is inaugurating where his throne will be that cross.
And that's one of the beautiful things about Mark's gospel. The people that you would not expect to get it, and they believe, and they see Jesus for who he is, the Son of God. And the people that you would expect to get it, the ones that have had the promises, the ones that have had the temple, the ones that have had the Torah, they are the ones that are blind. And it shouldn't surprise us, because John chapter 1 tells us this is exactly what's going to happen. He came to his own, and yet his own did not receive him.
A second question from Eric in Pennsylvania. Just a thought, but surely in this age of communication, the church can proclaim this simple message to all the world to repent and believe the gospel. Why bother with any other messages or duties? And he sends both those questions from his iPhone, Issues Etc. iPhone app. In this age of communication, do we have an excuse, Pastor Moore, for not making this call of repentance and the forgiveness of sins absolutely clear at every opportunity?
Oh, it needs to be absolutely clear, and we really don't have an excuse for not having that in our preaching. Yes, that repentance and the faith that is there lead to other things, lead to serving neighbor, lead to doing all sorts of things in our vocation as Christians, but it is not something to be presupposed. It needs to be in every single proclamation, and we have no excuse not to.
Why do you think, Pastor Poppy, that the church has strayed so far, not only now, but in other times as well, from the message that Jesus inaugurates here, from the message that he explicitly commanded his disciples to proclaim in all the world, repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name?
It's a lack of faith and downright unbelief. We do not believe that God's word will do what it says. We do not believe that the gospel is powerful to save. And so we add to it, we change it, we subtract away from it, simply because we think we can do a better job shift or improve upon the message, sort of like your laundry soap with added whiteners or brighteners. We're going to make it better. We're going to make it work better. We're going to make it perform better. And we simply do not take Jesus at his word and trust Jesus and the message that he gives us.
Then in verse 16, passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. Those are the first two fishermen disciples here. When we look at this in its original language, Pastor Moore, have we made too much of this little wordplay, fishermen, fishers of men, almost as though Jesus intends it to kind of flip them around?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we've made way too much out of that, I think. The fisherman is just simply a noun form, and he says, then we will be fishers of men. And he adds an object to the action of fishing rather than just fishermen, because really the men is not there in the text. You are fishers, and I will make you fishers of men.
So the emphasis is not upon the emphasis is upon the fact that I think another translation of another gospel parallel is, from now on you will be catching men. Is that perhaps a better way of understanding this?
I think so, yeah.
But the key is catching men with what? And it is that same message that Jesus proclaimed, repent, believe the gospel, the kingdom of God is in your midst, is at hand, the time is fulfilled. That's where the focus is. The focus is to be on Christ, who he is and what he has done. And when we play the games, and it's a lot of fun, and I've done it too, I love to fish, but when we do that, the focus is on our work and our activity, and that's just the opposite of what this text is talking about.
And I don't know whether this is making too much of something that is here in the text, but in last week's text, they spoke of Nathanael being one who was without bait, And the type of fishing that they're describing here is a baitless fishing. They're throwing their nets into the sea and drawing the fish out. It's not a luring the fish in.
This isn't angling. This isn't fly fishing.
Right. 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 It's throwing a small circular net. I mean, this isn't even the big nets that are in the boats. This is just a small little circular net that has some weight on it, and you just throw it in, grab it, and try to catch whatever's there.
So I guess we should say, and we'll talk about this more on the other side of the break, contrary to what has so much been made of this text, the emphasis is not going to be upon our skill as fishermen, our ability to lure people in, our ability to create a better lure, to lure more in, but in fact upon the power of the gospel that Jesus is at the center of to draw all men to himself, just like a big net. We'll be right back.
Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church. Casting Christ's net on the Internet. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The very somber 39th anniversary of legalized abortion is fast approaching, which makes the timing of this story so encouraging. Miracle McIntosh, yes, her real name, was diagnosed with cardiomyopathy. This means her heart muscle lacks the ability to contract well enough to pump blood. She was diagnosed while pregnant with her daughter Zoe. Doctors didn't hesitate to advise her to have an abortion. Miracle said, God didn't bless me with a baby to abort her. She made it through the pregnancy, but the next 3 years were touch and go. A week before Thanksgiving, Miracle got the miracle she was waiting for, a donor heart. Now she's doing great and enjoying the blessing of choosing life and good health instead of being an abortion statistic.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. About another 25 minutes left in our Pastor's Roundtable. We're looking at Jesus beginning his ministry and calling the first Galilean disciples. It's Mark chapter 1. Pastor Michael Moore is here in the studio. He's pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Strasburg, Illinois. Pastor Clint Poppy is pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. He joins us from Fort Wayne, where he's attending the annual theological symposium at Concordia Theological Seminary there in Fort Wayne. You can join us, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Leave a question or a comment for our Pastor's Roundtable at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, or send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. These first two are brothers casting their nets into the sea. You mentioned that before, Pastor Moore. One of the things you were pointing out during the break is that when Jesus says, and the English translation says, he said to them, follow me.
Uh-huh.
This is, we need to understand how he tells them to follow. There's a very particular way, and it's not with the word follow.
It's a description of being. That you have an understood verb is or be, but it's hither behind me. it's where we are located as Christians, is under the cross of Christ and behind him as we follow him through life. And we are to be behind him in all of his teaching, and he is our leader. He is the one who shows the way.
Pastor Poppy, a lot of times this has been preached with a very hard conditional tone to it. And that is, you know, Jesus will make you fishers of men, but first you have to do the following part of this. If you follow me, then I will make you become fishers of men. What are your thoughts on that very common way of understanding
it is very common, and it's very sad because it robs the gospel of its joy. It puts conditions, it binds us, and it turns, if you want to use this terminology, it turns the gospel, it turns the Great Commission into the great obligation. You know, right after Jesus preaches this first sermon in verse 15, Jesus goes to work, and Jesus calls. He calls people to faith, and Jesus calling bears fruit. They don't choose Jesus. Jesus chooses them. And I think that is a marvelous way to look at this text, a marvelous way to preach this text, and a marvelous way to refute perhaps some of the ways this text is abused, turning this into a works righteousness text with regard to, now you get out there and you do your part and you start catching fish.
How do you account, Pastor Moore, for the fact that these two, Peter and Andrew, and then later James and John, will leave behind what they're doing at the moment? In Peter and Andrew's case, fishing, and in James and John's case, mending nets, but they leave it behind and follow Jesus. How do you account for that?
I see this text in many ways as not so much a text about general discipleship, but of apostleship. Because, I mean, our text from last week, if you followed the old LW lectionary, you already had these two being called by our Lord. And if you go back to back on these weeks, you might wonder, well, why are they being called twice? And when we are called to proclaim the word, God calls us out of our lay vocations, if you will, into the vocation of the church in fishing for men.
Should it be understood, Pastor Poppy, as some sort of general lesson about general disciples, or is it more specific to these men, in particular, to the 12 that Jesus chooses in this unique way?
Well, I think it's more specific to the 12, and then by extension it can go to all believers. But I think primarily this text is about Christ, and this is the season of Epiphany. This is the revelation of God in the flesh, the incarnation made known. He says in his sermon, the kingdom of God is at hand, and this is going to be a different kind of a kingdom. Because his throne is not going to be made of fine wood or fancy metal. His throne will be the cross. His crown will not be of silver and gold. His crown will be of thorns. And he is ordained, inaugurated as king, if you want to use that imagery, as a suffering servant king. And that is the content of our message, and anyone who follows him must follow this Jesus, not a Jesus of their own making.
You wanted to say something, Pastor Moore, about that word where it does say they followed him and followed him in verse 18, that it's got some meaning in there that is beyond just simple following.
Yes, this is a word that is used to describe how disciples followed rabbis, but in its roots, it has, in much the same way as the name of our church body is synod, which is to walk together on the, or together footed, synhudos, this word has a connection with not just the soft footpath, but the hard road for the long haul in walking together in the teaching of your rabbi, your teacher. And so our Lord is calling us together with him to follow him along that same road.
Does that eliminate to a certain degree this notion of kind of freelance disciples, individual disciples. Everybody's following their own Jesus. We're not following together. I mean, the strong impulse of today's Christianity is real Christians are freelance Christians. They don't need other Christians. They don't need no church. They follow Jesus. They got a personal relationship with Jesus that no one else better horn in on because it's just me and Jesus.
If you're all following the same Jesus, you can't help but be walking together. And so this word eliminates that freelance Christianity, because the only way you can have freelance Christianity is if you each have your own Jesus.
Let's see what Mike has to say. He's listening in Kansas City. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi, Pastor Wilkin. And I wish people listening would consider supporting Issues, Etc. It's a great resource. And gentlemen, thanks for the topic. Once again, you guys are really on target with your programming. I had a question about related to Follow Me. This actually comes from Mark chapter 5 and verse 19. It has to do with the demon-possessed man that Jesus had had cleansed spiritually. And the demon-possessed man wanted to follow Jesus. But Jesus, it says here, and he did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. I mean, this seems to really support exactly what you're saying, that our role is not that of the apostles necessarily. It may very well be within our home and with our neighbors.
Mike, thank you very much. What do you make of that, Pastor Poppy?
I think he's spot on, and I think this is a clear picture of vocation. These gentlemen are called to a different vocation. They are called to drop their nets, abandon everything, and to follow Jesus in a way where they will be proclaiming this message that John the Baptist begins the Gospel of Mark with, this message that Jesus is proclaiming here, and they're going to do this in a very public, pastoral way. And the gentleman in Mark 5, he's to go home. He's to go back to his regular vocation, to his family. He's been restored, he's forgiven, and now he can share that good news, and who's the one that is the object of his faith? Jesus.
Ted in Hudson, Wisconsin, has a translational question for you, Pastor Moore. In the NIV, verse 17 is translated, he says, I will make you fishers of men. The ESV, the English Standard Version, says, I will make you become fishers of men. That's the version we're using here. What's the significance of the Greek genesthai that the NIV seems to ignore, that word become?
When our Lord speaks, it is done. And if he were to say to them, I make you fishers of men, it would happen instantaneously. I remember a sermon that I had heard on the raising of Lazarus, when Jesus is standing in the cemetery and he says, Lazarus, I say to you, come out. And the preacher made a point that he said he had to say Lazarus, otherwise everyone would have come out of their graves. And the disciples are coming to a process of encountering the Word and being fed by the Word over the process of their discipleship to be nurtured for their apostleship, which then begins at Pentecost.
So while they are certainly called to be fishers of men, or called to catch men at this point, they're not ready. They have not. They don't even know who this Jesus is yet. They don't have the gospel yet, in the strictest sense, fulfilled for them to go do the task that Christ has called them to do.
Precisely.
All right. With about 30 seconds before we take our break, Pastor Poppy, when he calls James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, they're mending their nets. They leave their father Zebedee and the hired servants, and they follow him too. This is the inner core. I mean, Andrew kind of hangs off onto the side, but this is that trifecta of those three disciples. Is that probably why this particular incident of the calling is singled out for us? About 30 seconds before our break.
We have several places in Scripture where this inner circle of disciples is prominently displayed. They get to see, they get to do, they get to witness things that the other disciples don't. And Mark puts them right at the forefront. This is how they are called. This is what they did. This is their story, and it really helps to set the stage, to give us the background, and to unfold everything that's going to be coming later on in the next 15 chapters.
Pastor Clint Poppy is pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, and here in the studio, Pastor Michael Moore, pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Strasburg, Illinois. When we come back, 10 more minutes with our Pastor's Roundtable. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Louisville, Nebraska. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida, St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia, and Emmaus Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
How does Jesus' incarnation provide us with a response to religious relativism? Find out in an article that I've written for the latest Issues Etc. journal. It's titled God in a Box, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. You can also read about Pastor Michael Schuerman's journey from moralistic therapeutic deism to the rock-solid theology of the Reformation. The online Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Thursday afternoon, the 19th of January, our Pastor's Roundtable for another 10 minutes. In the second hour of the program, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will join us for the first half hour to respond to a legal challenge that's being made to, well, the County Council of Sussex County in Delaware. Praise the Lord's Prayer before it has its meetings. That's been challenged. Now, what's interesting about this is the defense of the county council. Their attorney says that the Lord's Prayer isn't particularly Christian. In fact, it's not distinctively Christian at all, so no one should get worried about the county council praying the Lord's Prayer. I ask, what kind of a defense is that? Cutting off your nose to spite your face. We'll see what Dr. John Warwick Montgomery thinks about it. Then we'll remember, along with the rest of the church will be remembering her tomorrow, Sarah, the wife of Patriarch Abraham. Dr. Joel Heck will be our guest in the last half hour. This question comes from Enrique via Twitter. He says, Pastor Moore, if Jesus hadn't yet died and risen, then how can Jesus preach to the people that they need to believe the gospel? That's a great question.
Great question. And even though the historical event of the death and resurrection had not yet happened, it was as good as done. In the Old Testament, we have the prophets who proclaim future events using past tense verbs, because when God says it's going to be done, it is done. And things will be continuing on, and the work of the Lord, the incarnation, has happened. It is so close, you can taste it, and you know that it's going to happen. I think of those Rube Goldberg machines, and you drop the marble in the top. As soon as you drop that marble in the top, you know that the thing's going to happen at the end, unless the Rube Goldberg machine jams. But God doesn't, his prophecies don't jam. It is as good as done as soon as our Lord is in this world.
That sounds like something you were saying at the beginning of our conversation, Pastor Poppy, and that is when Jesus says the time is fulfilled, he means this is it. This is happening now. This is going to happen. I'm going to see to it personally that God's promises are carried out, and I'm God. And I'm the one who made the promise in the first place.
Absolutely. In the book of Hebrews, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, time has been fulfilled, past, present, and future. And remember, God's Word also teaches us that Christ has been slain since the beginning of time. And so all of these promises, all of this Word of God is now fulfilled in the incarnation, the kingdom of God in the flesh, standing right here, right there for them, for us, for the world.
Do you think, Pastor Poppy, that these four men who we see called by Jesus in this account have any idea what is ahead of them, what Jesus has gotten them into?
I don't think they have a clue, but they're going to see it very quickly, because especially in the Gospel of Mark, everything happens immediately, and it is like an action thriller movie as you read through the chapters of Mark, because it's just one gigantic miraculous event after another. And so Jesus is saying, "Buckle up, guys, hang on, you are about to witness what God does when God speaks and God acts." And this is how he's shaping and forming them for their future ministry.
Make a distinction for us here, Pastor Moore, that I think we've begun already in this conversation. And that is between these men who are called by Jesus to fulfill the completely unique role of apostle for the church, so much so that it will be upon the foundation of their inspired teaching that Christ builds his church, along with the Old Testament prophets. And the general call that God issues to each one of us, I'm not called to be an apostle, Michael. I'm called to be a pastor at a church and a radio talk show host and a dad and a husband and all sorts of other things, but not an apostle. Make that distinction for us.
Well, our Lord has sent out his apostles, and it is upon their preaching and proclamation that the church was founded. And the church does continue on. But it is distinct from our call as a believer. We are in our individual and daily lives, we believe. And I almost said the word merely, like that was something that wasn't a miracle in and of itself. And that our Lord has taken us and by the miracle of his grace transformed us into those who have repented and turned to the gospel and follow him in that way that he has called us as just believers in general. It's nothing to be looked down upon that we haven't been called as apostles. It's a miracle in and of itself. And so we should not be yearning for something that we haven't been given.
Pastor Poppy, there's a term, a rather clunky, I think ugly term, that has replaced the term disciple in modern Christian parlance, kind of the church growth circles. The term is a fully devoted Christ follower. And if you read up on it, you discover what the emphasis is really on. You know you're a fully devoted Christ follower if you're doing a lot of stuff, if you're busy with all sorts of works. If not, then you might not be fully devoted. You might even not be a Christ follower. What's your response to that, especially from what we've been given in this text?
Well, it's very, very sad, because when you're talking about a fully devoted Christ follower, where's the focus? The focus is not on Christ. The focus is on self. And when the focus is on self, it's always wrong. No matter how devoted I am, no matter how committed I am, no matter how convicted I am, plug in whatever adjective you want, I cannot do it perfectly, because everything I do is tainted by sin. Christ, in his sermon, tells me what I need to do, and it's not be a fully devoted anything. It's to repent and to preach this text, to study this text, to really appreciate this text. We need to come to that repent word, and we need to die to self, and then Christ raises us to live in him and to follow him.
This comes from Jeremy in Elkton, Maryland. He writes, not so much a question as a comment. This is my favorite gospel lesson this week. Often we like the comfortable lie more than the inconvenient truth. Jesus speaks the inconvenient truth. The comfortable lie is that, one, we are all of the time in the world compared to all the rest. You're not that bad. And three, if you simply work a little harder, you'll be okay. Jesus did what the Father sent him to do. Jesus spoke what he was given to say. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. The time was right for Jesus to come into the world. Every day is the time to repent and believe the gospel. We do not enter the kingdom of God compared to everyone else. We enter compared to ourselves, and we enter the kingdom through the righteousness of Christ. It's not about our works, activities, zeal, skill in fishing. Repent of your sin. Believe that your sins are forgiven for the sake of Jesus and Jesus alone. Love your pastor's roundtables and your hymn studies. Keep up the great work. Jeremy, thank you very much for listening in Maryland. Pastor Moore, your thoughts on Jeremy's comment there?
Oh, I think he just nails it dead on. I really enjoyed reading his post, saw that before I came into the studio, and everything that we do, everything that we are as Christians in Christ's church is because of his work for us, even the following. As I was listening to that again, I was thinking about a bull being led around by the nose ring, and it's not the bull by his own volition following. He is being brought by the one who is leading him, and we are being brought by our Lord Christ, and he is showing us the direction in which we are following. And so it is entirely him.
With about 30 seconds, Pastor Poppy, your final thoughts there, 30 seconds.
Jeremy's words are spot on, and we are to repent. We don't need to hang on to our sins. They hung on Jesus. We don't need to come up with some clever answer to excuse our way out of our sin. Jesus answered for our sins. And we don't have to look for some antidote to death, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life.
Pastor Clint Poppy is pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. Pastor Poppy, thanks to you and thanks to your congregation there in Lincoln for sponsoring Issues, etc.
You are most welcome, and it is a great and high honor for us to support Issues, etc.
Pastor Michael Moore is pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Strasburg, Illinois, also a sponsoring congregation of Issues, etc. Thanks for coming in. Thanks to the congregation, too.
And you're quite welcome.
Enrique, if you would send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org, we'll send you the Lutheran Study Bible. Thanks to everybody with all their questions and their comments for our Pastor's Roundtable. In hour two, we're going to be talking with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the other side of the break about a legal challenge to the recitation of the Lord's Prayer in Sussex County meetings, the county meetings there in Delaware. And before you get all worked up about it, you should listen to the very interesting defense that the Sussex County attorney has for praying the Lord's Prayer there. You might not want to go that direction. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will give us his legal evaluation on the other side. Then Dr. Joel Heck will join us in hour two to remember, along with the church tomorrow, the wife of Abraham, the patriarch, Sarah. Luther got it right when he said that it is Jesus who calls us by the gospel. Notice the emphasis there. It is Jesus himself who calls us, and he calls us with the very thing that he has done for us. Christ calls us with, well, to put it plainly, Jesus Christ calls us with himself. It is Christ himself who deserves all the credit that there are any disciples in the world. He makes them all. He sustains them all, Luther says. He keeps us all in the one true faith. He will raise us all from the dead. It's Christ's work. It's Christ's mission. We are his disciples. I'm Todd Wilkin, Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.